Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ramagiridhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam verse 4.13.25 onwards. Hare Krishna Ramagiridhar Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Please take over the call Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मैत्रेय उवाच अङ्गोऽश्वमेधं राजऋषिर् आजहार महाक्रतुं नाजग्मुर्देवतास्तस्मिन् आहूता ब्रह्मवादिभिः. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. श्री मैत्रेय रिप्लाइड, माय डियर विदुरा, वंस द ग्रेट किंग अंगा अरेंज्ड टू परफॉर्म द ग्रेट सैक्रिफाइस नोन एज अश्वमेध. ऑल द एक्सपर्ट ब्राह्मणास प्रेजेंट knew how to invite the demigods, but in spite of their efforts, no demigods participated or appeared in that sacrifice. Purport: a Vedic sacrifice is not an ordinary performance. The demigods used to participate in such sacrifices and the animals sacrificed in such performances were reincarnated with new life. In this age of Kali, there are no powerful brahmanas who can invite the demigods or give renewed life to animals. Formerly, the brahmanas, well conversant in Vedic mantras, could show the potency of the mantras, but in this age, because there are no such brahmanas, all such sacrifices are forbidden. The sacrifice in which horses were offered was called Ashwamedha. Sometimes cows were sacrificed, Gavalambha, not for eating purposes, but to give them new life in order to show the potency of the mantra. In this age, therefore, the only practical yajna is Sankirtana yajna or chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. नमाओं विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्यम प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. मैत्रेय उवाच अङ्गोऽश्वमेधं राजऋषिर् आजहार महाक्रतुं नाजग्मुर्देवतास्तस्मिन् आहूता ब्रह्मवादिभिः. श्री मैत्रेय रिप्लाइड, माय डियर विदुरा, वन्स द ग्रेट किंग अंगा अरेंज्ड टू परफॉर्म द ग्रेट सैक्रिफाइस नोन एज अश्वमेधा. All the expert brahmanas present knew how to invite the demigods, But in spite of their efforts, participated or appeared in that sacrifice. So, we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 13, Text Number 25. This shloka onwards, a new series is about to begin. Technically speaking, it starts from chapter 14, but then this is the shloka from which the background for the new episode is beginning. Like Daksha Prajapati episode, like Dhruva Maharaj episode, this new series on Prithu Maharaj episode is a very interesting and very much relevant for us practicing devotees. From chapter 14 of the 4th canto, it goes on for 8-9 chapters. I had a good fortune of doing this Prithu Maharaj episode in our weekly counseling program in Mumbai. We discussed every shloka in Prithu Maharaj episode. We started, of course, from the 14th chapter of 4th canto, and we did the entire series for almost 18 to 20 months, churning each of the shlokas or some set of shlokas, which are superlatively instructive for practicing devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam, as I always mention, especially the Bhaktivedanta purports, are like milk ocean. The more we churn, the more the nectar that we get. If we go on churning Bhaktivedanta purports, we get nectar. And hence, Srila Prabhupada encouraged all his practitioners, all his followers, to start explaining from his purports and share realizations. And he encouraged that we win more and more souls in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So this chapter, after Dhruva Maharaj went to the spiritual abode, by the curiosity of Vidura, Maitreya is opening up about the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. It is very interesting to note that the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to an extent, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are all existing not just because of the speaker, they are all in place because of the enthusiasm, inquisitiveness, and steadfastly focused nature of the students. Had Arjuna not asked detailed questions to Krishna, Krishna may not have elaborated. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire subject matter is constantly evolving because of the curiosity, inquisitiveness, and the focused nature of the students of Srimad Bhagavatam. Whenever we are in the process of Krishna consciousness, we are constantly expected, or we are expected to constantly equip, enable, inspire ourselves in the service of the Lord, and our progress in Krishna consciousness is directly proportionate to how much we have relinquished our doggish mentality. The doggish mentality that we possess, as Srila Prabhupada explains, the doggish mentality of switching over from one activity to another activity to another activity purely based on our curiosity. It's very important that we somehow or other grow our spiritual consciousness by dovetailing ourselves to this process of learning. So Krishna consciousness cannot be taught. Krishna consciousness we need to learn by our curiosity, our inquisitiveness, our surrender, our submission, etc. So the context that we are in is where when Vidura is inquiring about the details of what Narada spoke, what pastime he spoke to Prachetas, and eventually we are getting into a scenario of life of King Vena. The next chapter is about the entire activities of King Vena, who happens to be the descendant of Dhruva Maharaj and from whom Prithu Maharaj was born. So coming to the current context, current shloka, Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the performances of Vedic sacrifice. As a part of performance of Vedic sacrifice, Srila Prabhupada is giving a directive on what works in Kali Yuga, what does not work in Kali Yuga. In our conversation today, we are going to discuss some set of points and reflections through which we will analyze this current shloka. There is a song by the name Kevalashtakam. In that Kevalashtakam, it is very nicely sung. It's very nicely written. Where it is? It goes like this. Saguru sapita chapi samata bandavo pisa sikshaye chet sadasmartum harer namaiva kevalam. So it is explained about the process of the Harinam Sankirtan and relationships in this material world. It is explained that if somebody wants to be a spiritual master, if somebody wants to be a parent, if somebody is a friend, if somebody is considering someone else as a well-wisher, then they can fulfill their role only when they educate their dependence on the process and power of holy name. If we don't do that, what happens? Aho dukham mahadukham dukha dukataram yataha kachartam vismritam ratna harer namaiva kevalam. If you don't educate your dependents on the power of holy name or the process of harinam sankirtan, then the prayer says that it is so unfortunate. Aho dukkam maha dukkam dukkha dukkha taram yataha. We will wrongly identify kachartam vismritam ratna harer namaiva kevalam. Kachartam vismritam ratna. You will start to accept glass pieces towards diamond and diamond as glass pieces. So this process of Krishna consciousness that is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherein we are encouraged to participate in this Harinam Sankirtan, is just not Yuga Dharma. It is the process by which we can attain the result pretty fast in spite of our shortcomings. So my first reflection here is, in this age of Kali, Srila Prabhupada categorically says that no other processes can give us result, or no other processes are practical. So in our daily life, in devotional life, we need to very strongly remember that 99% of our devotional growth, progress in Krishna consciousness, is happening because of our attentive chanting. And everything else is by the remaining 1%. So Srila Prabhupada hence writes in the purport that why these big Vedic sacrifice, Ashwamedha, Rajasuya, and sacrificing various animals towards the in the fire arena, they are all not recommended, not because they are not bona fide, just because they are not relevant to this context. Moreover, the qualification that we need to possess such a, we need to have to conduct such a fire sacrifice is not there in the Brahmanas nowadays. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhava yajnyat bhavati parjanyo yajnya karma samudbhavaha. He says, Annat bhavanti bhutani, the grains grow in the field. And all of us are dependent on the grains. These grain is dependent on the rain. And the rains are dependent on the demigods who get pleased. And demigods get pleased only when the yajna is performed. If yajna is not performed properly, then demigods are not pleased. And when demigods are not pleased, then rain won't come. And if rain won't come, there won't be any grain which eventually leads us to either starve to death or get into a act of animalistic behavior. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that a point in time will come in Kali Yuga where people, without having any option for their food and sustenance, may even kill one another and maintain themselves. And we are in that very age, maybe at the beginning of this era, but then the fag end of Kali Yuga, as the day progresses, as the year progresses, as the decade progresses, we are definitely marching towards such a situation which is unimaginable. Some of us who have not got access to what it was like 50-100 years before a civilization, it is surprising to hear how somebody lived their life in those civilizations without technology. But people were more happy, people were more sorted, and people were more focused. And in the current context, because of us not having clarity of our thought in our existence, we are struggling and eventually leading a life of animal. So the first reflection is about focusing and reiterating our own selves in the process of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so much so that it takes up the majority aspect of our spiritual life. Spiritual life is just not about what others see. Spiritual life is about what others don't see. Krishna does not grade a person, a devotee, not based on what is shown outside. Krishna grades a person based on what he is not showing. A person is categorized as an advanced devotee not based on his dress or address. His position in Krishna consciousness is based on his consciousness and intentions. So our first agenda in our spiritual life hence is to somewhere or other try to clarify our own self, reprioritize our own activities, refocus on this very basic fundamentals of Krishna consciousness, and hence we will shift our focus from showing off to focusing on that which is not to be shown off, rather need to be very nicely watered and weeds uprooted. So as a part of our progress in Krishna consciousness, if we do not water the Bhakti Lata Bheej, if we do not water the sapling properly by removal of weeds, all the yajnas, all the yogas, all the practices, all the so-called external services, they are all simply waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. So Srila Prabhupada, many places he has insisted, and once again he is reiterating here that in this age of Kali, there are no powerful brahmanas who can invite the demigods. But the only way you can rather do something practical in this is to do the Sankirtan Yajna. One police officer went to Srila Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada that, Swamiji, we are spending thousands of dollars to bring in peace and prosperity in the society. Please advise that how am I able to restore, because we are still not able to restore even after spending so much of money. And Srila Prabhupada said, please give us those thousands of dollars. We will transform the society in a very short time. So hence, as practicing devotees, as sincere practitioners, we may be interested, curious, inquisitive in knowing so many things, which is nice, but unless they are transformed into an action, and one of the main action is focused, offenseless chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then the entire basis of spirituality is shaken. So as a practicing devotee, it is extremely, extremely important that we give chanting at an utmost priority, so much so that our spiritual life's sustenance is on that. And the irony or a very poor scenario is that many practicing devotees, even after many years in Krishna consciousness, are not even able to stabilize to the barest minimum of having a focused, attentive chanting. And that is because of familiarity. That is because of complacency. That is because of aparad, and that is because of our choice to embrace materialistic life over Krishna consciousness. So this familiarity that we have definitely inculcated because of extended association in Krishna consciousness, our complacency because of our not being vigilant in our basic sadhana, aparad, it is again because of our carelessness, and last but not least is not being focused or not having a priority of Krishna consciousness. So we as practicing devotees, even after hearing Siddhanta, you hear Siddhanta, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, but if we do not process them, contemplate them, assimilate them, then we have a problem. So it is extremely rare to come in contact with this Krishna consciousness process, but then this rarity should be transformed to divinity. And what does rarity to divinity means? It means what you heard you better understand. What you heard and understand, you better assimilate. What you heard, understood and assimilated, you better apply. And what you heard, understood, assimilated, applied, you better preach. If hearing Krishna consciousness is a rarity, preaching is about divinity. So as a part of first reflection, I would like to summarize these following points. Number one, Srila Prabhupada strongly condemns and Kevalashtakam strongly recommend each and every one of us need to take up Krishna consciousness through the process of Sankirtana Yajna. Number two, if we don't do that, then Kachartham Vismritam Ratna, we will start understanding the reality as illusion and illusion as reality. And number three is that this Sankirtana process takes care of 99% of our Krishna consciousness aspect of it. Hence, our focused, attentive chanting supersedes all other priorities. And hence, we need to give utmost importance to our process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by handling the four quotients that I said of familiarity, complacency, aparad, and priority. By doing that, we will be able to progress from just getting in contact, getting in touch with the most rarest opportunity to the stage of divinity which Srila Prabhupada encourages us. So if hearing Krishna Katha is rare, if understanding Krishna Katha is the next step, and assimilate, apply, and eventually preach Krishna consciousness. So this is my first reflection. The second reflection is, as in this chapter we have been discussing how Vidura is curious, Vidura is inquisitive about the whole scenario that Narada Muni was glorifying. Vidura is encouraging Maitreya to speak more and more. So in our Krishna consciousness journey, it is something that we need to facilitate ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves to be learning the science of Krishna consciousness and eventually lead a life of Vedic sacrifice. It is not necessary in Kali Yuga that Ashwamedha Yajna, Rajasika Yajna or any other fire sacrifice that are to be done in the previous ages are expected out of us. Rather, we need to take part in such a service opportunity by which we glorify Guru, Gauranga, Radha, Krishna. Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikalai Tatalai Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So we offer our obeisances in such a manner that we glorify spiritual master, God Nithai, Radha and Krishna, and that should be made the center of our life, and that is our yajna, and that is our focus, and that is how in Kali Yuga we are expected out. So as a part of my second reflection, we are going to discuss about four stages of executing services. And as a part of these four stages, we will be knowing how our service that we do in this Kali Yuga, in the current context, becomes a Vedic sacrifice. Number one, in fact, these four stages that I'm going to discuss is very scientific And we can very easily relate it to each and every one of us. And I'm sure this will help us to reprioritize our life in such a way that we lead a life of sacrifice. We lead a life of complete dedication for, going back home, back to God. So, before we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, before we come in contact with this Sankirtana movement, before we come in contact with any spirituality, all we knew was, how can I get benefit for myself? I want everybody to work for my pleasure. I want to work for my pleasure. I want to see what do I get when I go to somebody's house, or what somebody bring when they come to my house. In the sense, I am constantly centered around myself. I, me, mine. So, if we do the first agenda, which is our chanting and trying to apply what we discussed as our first reflection, then what happens is that we definitely develop some taste for doing service to Krishna. Because all these great personalities, Suta Goswami, Shaunaka Rishi, Vidura, Maitreya, and so on and so forth, they all were involved in Krishna consciousness, not only for their personal welfare or even not for their personal welfare. They were all participating in Sankirtana Yajna, they were participating in Bhagavat Yajna, they were participating in all the services purely for the welfare of the society at large. Hence, this four stages of executing service becomes very relevant. So, the first stage when we start doing service after we take up Krishna consciousness is a stage of service of our choice. So, you will see that lot of Kanishta, lot of new neophyte devotees, when you ask them to do service, they will do service of their choice. This is the service I like most. This is the service I prefer. This is the service I enjoy. This is the service that I want. When we were young boys, we are always interested in doing one particular service. Whenever there are any event and festival, I mean, I'm talking about 20, 25 years ago, our service interest is when we get an opportunity to ride a car or a bike or a cycle or something that enthuses, because those days there were no smartphones and all other technology stuffs. So our only thing that gives us kick used to be I ride a bike, I ride a scooter, I ride a car. If any service is involved, that because generally parents are very protective in those days. So, and at our teenagers we were very curious. So, if services are given to go and buy vegetables or do something where there are involvement of riding a bike or a car, we are immediately for it. Hey, can you please wash the toilet, or when cut the vegetables? I mean, we will always give excuses. I have exams and this and that. So the first stage of evolution in service opportunity is we serve or take up the service which is of our choice. I like this service, that I will do. The second stage is, whilst we still want to do of our choice, just that because of we doing these services for a regular period in time, we develop some Shraddha, and because of which from choice mode, we go to one higher level, which is we do service because the service was told to us. Even though we don't have a liking for that service, we have developed some quotient of respect because of doing some service of our choice. We will do the service that we were told. Oh, that Prabhuji told, that's why I am doing this. This Mataji told, that's why I am doing this. Otherwise, I would not have done this. I would have preferred to do this, but just that because this Prabhuji told, this Maharaj told, this Mataji told, I am doing this service. So from the position of choice, the position of obedience has developed. And when we keep doing this service, after a point in time, we evolve in our consciousness where we do service not because it is our choice, not because we were told, but because it was a need of the hour. So we started our service with our choice. We got little purification, so we start to become obedient, even though we wish or don't wish, we do that service. And when we were doing services out of obedience, we develop a natural sense of responsibility, and hence the services will be done based on the need, whether I like or not like, whether I am told or not told. And the fourth stage is, I dedicate myself and my life is a life of service. There is nothing called as mine and service. The life is full of service and I am from head to toe surrendered. Till stage 3, you still have two personalities. One is what we do, second is what we are. But as we move progress towards stage 3 and eventually to the stage 4, is what we are and what we do and what is needed and what is pleasing, they all are in the same frequency. To an extent, our life is a life of service. The reason this is being discussed over here is that the Vedic sacrifice is performed to please the Lord. The Vedic sacrifice is performed is to please the demigods. A life of Vedic sacrifice is to inspire one another and eventually quit the cycle of birth and death. And in this Kali Yuga, we discuss how holy name is a main aspect of it. And chanting the holy name, and what is the effect of chanting the holy name, is to dovetail ourselves in the service of the Supreme Lord. This combination makes our life to complete life of sacrifice, complete life of Vedic sacrifice. So the yajna aspect of it is the chanting. The result aspect of it is the service. Because whilst we chant, we ask for service. Whilst we serve, our chanting improves. So these two combinations put together makes us qualified, even in this age of Kali Yuga, to attract special mercy of the Supreme Lord. Over here, it is explained that in spite of expert brahmanas inviting, the demigods did not manifest. You will see in the next set of verses how the story is going to get unfolded and why Vena was not a very ideal king and how Prithu had to appear. So there are a lot of wonderful instructions that are embedded in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. But our conversation here is that how to lead a life of Vedic sacrifice in the age of Kali as recommended by Srila Prabhupada. So to make our life success and to put us in the right course of journey, we need not worry about any complicated or any innovative or any new processes. We can simply follow what is time-tested and proven and established by none other than the Supreme Lord Himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His followers. And by doing so, we will see the result very much in this very life, very much in front of our own eyes. So hence, the second reflection is about how the result of our chanting should end in the life of service. And the life of service refers to four stages of service. Stage one is service of choice. Second is service of what is being told. Third is service that are needed. And fourth is service out of dedication. So these two sets of reflections will help us to elevate our consciousness from Naradama to Mahatma, from lowest amongst the mankind to become the sincere, exemplary person as Mahaprabhu wanted. Srila Prabhupada did not want us to have just a Janayudharan Brahman, just a Brahman having sacred thread. A Brahmana in the real sense, a Vaishnava in the real sense means one who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, one who is constantly glorifying about the Lord, and one whose life is a life of exemplariness to help one and all to take up spirituality. So to summarize our conversation, we discussed two sets of reflections. The foundation of these two sets of reflection is that these science of Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by great acharyas is about that we as a student need to show inquisitiveness, we need to show focused, we need to show consistency in learning Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be taught, Srimad Bhagavatam can only be learned. And our learning process is by submissive, with service attitude, we hear from a bona fide source. So in this current context, we discussed about performance of Vedic sacrifice and how Srila Prabhupada condemns that in this Kali Yuga, all the other processes of Vedic sacrifice in terms of animal killing and other things are not recommended, not possible, not encouraged. And hence, Srila Prabhupada supports all of us to take up this Sankirtana Yajna and apply them in our daily life. And that way, we will be able to achieve the purpose of human form of life. So the two reflections that we had are that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, how 99% of our growth is based on our attentive chanting. And hence, whether you are a father, guru, mother, friend, you need to encourage your dependents to take up Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and somehow or other we should make them connected to this process of Sankirtana Yajna. If you don't engage them in the process of Sankirtana Yajna, then what will happen is you will accept reality as illusion and illusion as reality. And if you get into the trap of illusion to reality and reality to illusion, we lose this very rarest human form of life and once again go back to the stages of suffering. And as practicing devotees, we are not able to take advantage of this even after theoretically knowing this, is because either we are familiar to this process, or we are complacent to this process, or we are offensive towards this process, or we have given very least priority to this process. So hence, Srila Prabhupada encourages us that the very rarest opportunity that we have in terms of getting this human form of life should be taken advantage of. When we heard about Krishna, which is very rare, you please try to understand what you heard, try to assimilate what you heard, try to apply what you heard, and finally, you please preach what you heard. So what you heard and what you are hearing regularly in our Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita classes, we need to understand them. And what you heard and understood, we need to assimilate them. What we heard, understood and assimilated, we need to apply them in our life. And what we heard, understood, assimilated, applied, we need to definitely preach them. And the stage of preaching is a stage of divinity. The second reflection is about when we are in the process of Krishna consciousness and chanting and trying to elevate our consciousness, the result of this chanting is we should get service opportunity. We should take part in the service opportunity. So chanting and seva are the two, you know, sides of the same coin, where one side I ask for service. Of course, chanting is in itself a service. But when you chant, you are expected to be dovetailing your life in such a way that it is dedicated for serving the Supreme Lord. So we discussed about four stages of service. The stage of service begins with a service that we choose because we like them, because it is easy, because it is pleasing, because it is attractive. And when we keep doing it, our consciousness gets purified. So we go up one level that not only we just do the service of our choice, we also do the service that are being told to us. So from choice to obedience. So we became obedient to somebody and start doing service, even though it is not of our choice. We do it because we were told to it. And if we consistently do that, we raise up our consciousness further up and we learn to do service that are needed to be done. So from choice to obedience and from obedience to being responsible. So hence the third stage of service is about services that are needed to be performed. And when we keep doing that, we get to the final stage of consciousness, which is called services as a dedication to the entire spiritual parampara. And in this case, there is no two lives for us. There is no life of choice versus life of, you know, sense gratification. The last stage of service is I dedicate my full life from dhan, man, dhan. All the thoughts, words, action, character, everything is dovetailed for service, and that's a stage of perfection that is expected from all the sadhakas. There are many, many more things that we can talk about service, but in the current context, when Srila Prabhupada is glorifying about Sankirtana Yajna, when Srila Prabhupada is talking about Vedic sacrifice, and Srila Prabhupada is condemning about all other complicated sacrifices, these two, chanting and service, takes the precedence, and hence we discuss this in detail. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for the class. You just finished mentioning again the four stages of service, you know, beginning with what we want to do, then what we're told to do, then what's required, and then finally dedication. So can you explain when you're at the stage of doing what is required, what is missing, or what is the distinction between what is required and dedicating? You know, in other words, if you're at that third stage, Is it that you may not be fully engaging your entire self?
Yeah, I understand your question. So thank you for that question.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between stage 3 and stage 4 is the difference between the stage of Ashakti and Prema.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you are in a stage of Ashakti, are dedicated, completely firmed up in your devotional service, in the 9 stages of devotional service, what is the difference between Ashakti and Prema? You have done Anartha Nivritti, your Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava, Prema. So, Rupa Goswami explains that as you progress in the stages of services and consciousness, the layers of personalism, the layers of personal interest get withered away. For example, when I say I come to the stage of service to be done as a responsibility, that is glorious. But what is the stage of dedication? It is a stage of the life of Goswami where their existence itself is a service. For example, the moment you know so-and-so devotee existed or existing, that gives you a motivation. You know what? I have a very nice devotee in my community. You may not talk to them. You may not interact with them. You may just hear about them. You may just glorify about them. And that is a service by itself. Like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, they were Bhajanandis. They were not Goshtiyanandis. But just by talking about them, thinking about them, and understanding their instructions, this itself is a service. We learn something from their character. So the way Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj functioned, so you learn about it, you get into a service mood. So the point I'm saying is that till stage 3, there is a difference between service and yourself. At the stage 4, the personality, the service, and the purpose, all three get resonating in one single frequency. There is no difference. So just by being, you are serving. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj just was there and he served. Just by being. And that stage of dedication is a stage where our consciousness is in the superlative nature. Like Narada Muni. Narada Muni travels around the world not because of his responsibility. He is traveling around the world out of love. And wherever he travels, some service opportunities are constantly manifesting. Either by
to clarify, when you talk about responsibility, is that the stage 2 or 3?
Stage 3. What is needed? Because stage 2 is about the stage of obedience. Because you are told to do, that's why you are doing it.
I know, but that sounded like responsibility also. You know, that's why I was not that clear.
The reason it's not classified as responsibility because only after being told you are doing it, the stage 3, I mean if you logically analyze this, we all have gone through these stages. When we were new to Krishna consciousness, we just did what we liked. Not that everything under the roof we would have done. But as we see, we are changing. We are progressing. We are improving. So there are certain things that we will do it, whether somebody wishes it or not wishes it, we will do it because we were told to do it. And that's how our consciousness is progressing. So the point I was trying to say, the stage 4 is your existence is in itself a service. So from that perspective, that's the stage of perfection. Goswamis, Narada Muni, and great personalities like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, their life is an example of service out of dedication. Making sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It is clear. So your existence is your existence. There's no, as you said, there's no distinction between your service and your very being. Whereas at the stage of responsibility, I'm not sure how a person would see themselves as distinct from his service.
14th chapter of Nectar of Devotion, chapter, first, second paragraph. Srila Prabhupada writes that knowledge and renunciation are considered as a stepping stone of devotional service. But after a point in time, neither knowledge nor renunciation is going to help us in our devotional journey. It is about our sincerity and our sentiments that are going to hold us in our devotional life. This is what Prabhupada writes. 14th chapter, Nectar of Devotion, chapter, first paragraph. I'm just paraphrasing. So, all this while we are harping about knowledge and renunciation, knowledge and renunciation, knowledge and renunciation. But after a point in time, renunciation is immaterial. Will gopis talk about renunciation? No. They are beyond renunciation. Renunciation is only when there is an attachment. Here they are beyond attachment.
Yes.
Knowledge is required only when there is an ignorance. They are beyond knowledge and ignorance. So similarly, when you talk about service as a responsibility, which means we are still looking at that as a finite object. But service as a dedication, which is an infinite object, it's an infinite stage, where you cannot classify, this he is doing as a service, this is his personal life, this is his private private forum, this time he cannot access him. No. 24/7 by 365 days, Srila Prabhupada lying down on the, final days. So he was translating. That's called service out of dedication. And for all of us, we will not be able to classify that as a service. Oh my God, I'm dying. Better let me focus on my samadhi. Let me hear more holy names. Let me hear that people. So what Srila Prabhupada did, he was not doing for himself. Because he's not part of this world. He just came to execute a very important mission. So while leaving his body, he was not insisting on people to chant for his pleasure. Rather, he was translating so that he can still continue to serve his spiritual master till the last breath. I'm not criticizing about, hearing the chanting at the time of the death. I'm not saying that. I'm saying to just classify Srila Prabhupada's, position as a service out of dedication, where there is no personal tinge of anything to do with himself and his devotion. Mm-hmm. They are all identical. Make sense?
Yes, yes. Basically, it seems like the distinction is one of spontaneous from the heart service versus, just really just practicing,
as a duty or as a responsibility.
Because as long as you're doing it as a duty or responsibility, that means that you still have some kind of material attachment that might be separate, but that you might repress or suppress, but you do it. Okay, just I just had one last question.
Sure.
When you were talking about the different things that hold us back, like familiarity, lack of priority, complacency, apparat, right? Those four things. So the lack of priority of Krishna consciousness in our lives and complacency. Especially those two sounded identical to me. And then also familiarity also seemed very familiar. So for the purpose of being able to recognize those things better in our lives, can you make more of a distinction?
I'll distinguish, yes. So familiarity, if you, in Vedabase, if you go and Google the word familiarity, Srila Prabhupada using the word familiarity more than, 10 instances about how familiarity in Krishna consciousness hampers our growth in Krishna consciousness. So familiarity is about getting too close too fast or too intense too fast. So we as practicing devotees, for example, I am serving my spiritual master, and somehow by Krishna's mercy or whatever that is, I become too close to my spiritual master to an extent. I happen to see things from the gross eye rather than a spiritual dimension. I tend to overlook the importance of my sadhana, importance of my consciousness, importance of my reading, hearing, and just thinking that because I am close to my spiritual master, I need not chant. I can skip things. I can be little, you know, whatever I am. So that proximity. So I have mentioned this earlier also. Familiarity to holy name, familiarity to spiritual master, familiarity to Vedic literature, familiarity to deities, familiarity to dham. These five things can put us in little back foot, because these five things are the places where we are supposed to gain Krishna consciousness from. If you come to them too close, too fast, we tend to miss the train. With respect to complacency, it is not necessarily, you know, linked with familiarity, because complacency is a symptom or a sign of laziness. So in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains five important obstacles for attentive chanting. One of them, he's saying, is about laya, which means sleep or complacency or, you know, something lacking. So here complacency refers to our laziness because of our habits. Here complacency refers to delaying things because of our association. So complacency here is a typical anartha identified in a sadhaka's growth. So it is directly linked towards our habits, what we have upbringing and what we ate and whom do we associate. So because of which our decision procrastinating things comes into our life. So from that perspective, this is nothing to do with proximity of a devotee or proximity to a devotee. This is purely to do with oneself, how his individual practices are, how his individual life is. Third is with respect to anarthas. It's a very clear-cut classification where you offend because of any one of the above two, or offend because of ignorance, offend because of overconfidence, or whatever you may call. But you offend, and offend in whatever classifications you may have, it will pull you back from your journey. The last part is priority. This is pretty much to do with the association that we take. The number two, complacency and priority, may sound similar, but complacency can come independent of your association. And here, when I refer to priority, I was mainly referring to the choice of association or the people who matters to you most. Priority here, not necessarily with respect to how much Krishna consciousness is important. It is about to do with who is important in my life. Sometimes it is about me, it is about my family, it is about my dog, it is about my, you know, job, and Krishna is somewhere. If you look, if I always, you know, tell this to our students, if you take a paper and pen, without, you know, hesitance, you just write the top 10 agenda on top of your head in your life. If anywhere Krishna or Krishna consciousness is there, then we are at least, you know, in the right track. But if it is not there, oh, I have to fix my house, I have to go to a job, I have to, you know, get married, I need to make money, I need to get more beautiful, I need to become fit and fine. So, somehow or other, being in Krishna consciousness, Sangha, and regularly hearing Krishna Katha, at least we are talking about, you know, some sensible things, at least as talking. If you just pick up a random person who is not exposed to Krishna consciousness, give him a piece of paper, ask him to write his top 10, you know, priorities in his life. If it is not, it'll be very obvious that it is not Krishna conscious. And as practicing devotees, even after coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, if our priorities list has not improved, if Krishna has not come to the top 1, 2, 3, if Krishna consciousness is not 1 or 2, 3 items in your life, then it is a matter of concern. So priorities generally get shifted because of the active association that we keep. So that way I classify these four things. Is that okay?
Yeah, just to go back to familiarity a little bit, can you say that familiarity is about taking the association of advanced souls or of the holy dham like for granted, something like that?
Yes. So basically, spiritual master, holy name, deities, scriptures, holy dham. Getting too close too fast, or staying too far away too long, both are risky. If you stay too far away for too long, fearing that I may commit Vaishnava aparadh, oh, I may get familiar, oh, I may get complacent, so that is also not going to help us. We need to definitely get closer, closer, closer to an extent that they are all our life and soul. But it is supposed to be done in a scientific manner, not an arbitrary manner. So that is why the process of Krishna consciousness is a very gradual elevation. Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 34th verse. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. But how Krishna consciousness needs to be gradually taken up and not necessarily abruptly spikes are expected out of us. So this gradual elevation of consciousness needs to be flared up or fired. Otherwise, arbitrary growth or arbitrary fall down, both are not going to help us.
Yeah, the problem of familiarity, basically, in a nutshell, is that you're not valuing the person or the name or the dham sufficiently.
Yes, as much as you're supposed to be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That may be either because of, overlooking on certain details. I mean, I overlooked because I am getting access to some things very easily that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Prabhu.
Thank
you so much. Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandat Pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I have a question if you have time, Prabhuji.
Yeah, sure, I have. No problem.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So, my question was regarding the three categories of service. I know Mataji had asked, but I'm not very clear. My question, I will let you know. My question is, we talked about three different, when we are progressing in the beginning, in the first time, so we will take up the services that we like. And then as we progress, we will take up the service which we are instructed to do, not necessarily what we like to do. And then at the same time, third, higher, as we advance, then you said that we will take up the service which is a need of the hour, rather than any other thing that comes into picture. So my question is twofold or threefold rather. So, as I understand, practically, when we take up service in the beginning, we are told to do a particular service. I mean, yes, it may be maybe to our liking, but then at that point of time, we don't ask questions, because we want to learn everything. So we take up any service, whatever, and then we consider that as our doing the service. And then second, as we progress, one gets initiated or this, that. Now, what happens at that point of time is generally we always say that the services should be given to the person, for example, cooking. Cooking a person who is very good at it, that person should be given the preference to do it. And that makes sense too. So the thing is, when one who likes cooking or one who may be liking to do some writing, so we like to do the cooking or we like to do the writing, so we are instructed by the higher-ups to take up that service. So in such a case, it is to our liking. Here the question is, we are doing under instructions, but it is to our liking. So as we are advancing, we are actually doing the services which we like. So how are we advancing? That is my question. As compared to what in the beginning, when I was doing whatever is needed. Okay, you cannot do the cooking. You are not. You need to wash the utensils. Okay, I would take up that service because, oh, I'm doing a service. I'm so happy that I can be a part of, you know, the ISKCON thing and do the service. And then as we go higher up, then you get double initiated, and then we can do deity worship and this, that. Now there, even more, you feel, this is my personal thought, not for anybody else, Prabhuji, but as we go higher up, then we take up deity worship and this, that. Then again, I feel that spiritual advancement, though we are taking up those glorious services, but advancement internally, is it really happening for everybody? That is my question, Prabhuji.
Great. So, I kind of understood, your question. Just in case if I did not respond to you at the end, you can clarify again. Let me put you this question this way. Suppose on the day of Janmashtami, Radha Krishna deities Abhishekam is going to go on, and we are asked to go and take care of the shoe stand in the main gate. What will be our response? Desires? Where do we stand? No, Prabhuji, today is Janmashtami day. At least, please find somebody, pay him some 500,000 rupees and make him stand there. How can we miss Abhishek? Could be one very logically correct argument. And we can say that, hence, I think that service need not be given to me. I would rather stay and watch the Abhishek. Second perspective is, since you asked me to do it, let me please go and do it. And the third aspect of it is that, Prabhuji, I'm seeing that every service is manned. Somehow or other, nobody is there in the shoe stand. So, shall I go and take it up? The point of this conversation about the service, in your question, it comes from assigning. I am saying it is from the perspective of accepting. Assigning persons. Suppose if I have to give service to somebody as a matter of my responsibility, it is my duty to encourage and ensure everybody is respected and their wishes, their convenience is definitely taken into consideration whilst planning the services. But the person who is at the recipient end should always make sure that I do the service that are going to please Krishna and my spiritual authority, whether I like or not like, whether I wish or not wish, whether I need or not need it. So the entire point of conversation, why I brought this up is, even after practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years in different Vaishnava communities, arguments and fights and misunderstandings are only because of this agenda, service agenda. I am, whether you wish or not wish to say it, I want to say that for the past 30 years in the movement, I have seen different communities who have grown individually great. But some communities are struggling because two Matajis fight over a service, three Prabhujis fight over a service, two leaders are fighting over a service. So eventually, is it service or in the name of service, some of us are trying to get our profile done? So I would like to say three points to this. A cook, a brahmachari or a pujari, he is supposed to cook Rajboga. Denied cooking because since morning till 11 o'clock, he was busy in making a sweet preparation for evening Vyas Puja of his Guru Maharaj. So he got maxed out. So he just kind of went back, did not even bother who is going to cook. Maybe logical, saying that how can this Prabhu, since morning 4 a.m. he has been busy. So it is logical for him to, take rest. But it is definitely not logical for him to say that I am least bothered who is going to cook. The point of conversation is, as servants, we are doing service neither for credit, nor for position, nor for any reciprocation from Krishna. We are doing service because we are expected to do service. Prahlad Maharaj spoke this to Narasimhadev. In 7th canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Narasimhadev made an offer to Prahlad Maharaj. Please ask me, my dear Prahlad, whatever you want, I will provide it to you. Prahlad Maharaj responded, please don't allure me. Whether you give or not give, you are always my worshipable Lord. So I will let me do, I have my service. You need not give and prove your point. So that is the kind of state that we are expected to rise up. So when I was talking about these four categories, I was trying to talk from a perspective of an individual's introspection and raising of consciousness, not from the perspective of somebody assigning. As a leader, as a responsible member, assigning services to you, he or she need to be definitely considerate. But from a acceptance perspective, our acceptance should be slowly, slowly rising above our needs, rather than, you know, it should be rising above the level of pleasing the Supreme Lord. So when I was trying to explain about these four categories from choice to dedication, I was trying to explain how our consciousness needs to evolve. And when we evolve our consciousness in this spirit, we will be very cooperatively, very happily execute devotional service. If there is no cooperation and there is no harmony in devotional service amongst Vaishnavas, which we see today in our movement, that is because somewhere or the other, the personal agenda has crept in. And that is what we need to get rid of for us to establish a Vedic sacrificial lifestyle. What is the context here? How do we lead a life of Vedic sacrifice? If you chant and if you serve. And when we discussed about chanting, we say how the chanting should be. And we discussed about service, how the service should be. So this is from a student's viewpoint. We need to introspect and elevate our consciousness. Did I anywhere, you know, answer your question?
Yeah, in a way you did. I just wanted to clarify what I understood. So basically what you the categorization that you made, that was not from the services assigned, but from the personal point of view. So therefore, I was kind of taking it the other way around.
Yes, this is from a personal, as a recipient, not as giving.
Yeah. So, but that question is still lingering in my mind. For example, if one is being assigned the service and we are liking to do the service and we are doing it, so is that still, but that, you know,
that's perfect.
But attachment is there, right? Now that when you like a service, you are a human being. You get attached also, right? I mean, it's very difficult to like it and say, okay, I'm not attached. So you eventually, over a period of time, you will get attached to it. So that is my concern. So
attachment is because you can do this service nicely for pleasing Krishna. Attachment because that you are comfortable in that. If the answer is you are comfortable in that, then that's not very healthy. At some point in time, Krishna will test that. You are attached because, I will tell you a very interesting story. The story about Kanchipurna. I have told this story maybe 6-7 times in this, you know, forum. Kanchipurna, a very nice Sri Vaishnava devotee, was having a service of fanning Lord Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. This Lord Varadaraj used to regularly receive every day, morning till evening, Kanchipurna's service is to fan Lord Varadaraj, and as he fans, he used to have an interaction with Lord Varadaraj. One day all the city men asked Kanchipurna, hey, every day you are talking to Krishna, why don't you ask him, when will you come to me? I mean, when will I go to him? So many people gave a list and different requests. So the next day morning when Kanchipurna went to fan Lord Varadaraj, he asked everybody's request. Somebody asked me, when will I get my, you know, daughter married? When will I go back home, back to Godhead? When will I get this? When will I get that? So many people asked so many requests. So Lord kept on responding this, that. He kept on giving answer, and finally Kanchipurna was curious. I have been fanning the Lord for so many months and years. I never asked anything to the Lord. So let me also ask, my dear Lord, when will I come to your abode? Krishna said, maybe a couple of lifetimes or something like that. So Varadaraj said, Kanchipurna asked, why? He says, just now you are serving me. You have not yet started serving my devotee. Unless and otherwise you serve my devotee, it's very difficult for you to come to me. So the message here is that Kanchi Purna, as soon as he heard from the Supreme Lord, he kept the chamara then and there and he left. So the message is that sometimes we may be serving even Krishna out of our comfort and happy mood. But you need to rise up to the level of what is needed, and we need to get to the stage of complete dedication. So it is a life of introspection for a sadhaka to constantly check, am I doing the service in the right mood? Am I participating in the service with the right perspective? Am I involved in the service is because of me or because of Krishna? If the answer is Krishna, great. If the answer has got some me quotient, we need to slowly get rid of it. Because we need to slowly elevate my desire with Krishna's desire, and eventually to get to the stage is Krishna's desire is always my desire. I went to Krishna because of my need, then I got attached to Krishna, but eventually my spiritual life should be that because Krishna is happy, I am happy. Previously, because I was happy, I was doing. Now, because Krishna is happy, I am happy whether I want or not want, wish or not wish. Aslishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanat marmahatam karotuvam yata tata va vidathatu lampato matprana natastu sayeva naparaha. Whether you come in front of me, does not come in front of me, you are always worshipable, my Lord. That's the message. Make sense?
Yeah, but Prabhuji, beautiful class. I mean, wonderful realizations that you have, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments?
Guru Maharaj, I have one question. This is Shravanti from Los Angeles.
Hare Krishna, yes.
So, I'm a new devotee here. So, my question is, why does ISKCON follow a different calendar? So, as like I've been saying since a few times, Ekadashi is different and it falls like 1 or 2 days before, or it has its own calendar. Can I know a specific reason for this?
Okay, so basically all the calculations for a particular event could be done by many ways. For example, Janmashtami. Some people calculate Janmashtami based on Krishna's nakshatra, Revati nakshatra. Some people calculate Janmashtami based on Ashtami Tithi. So, this is in our tradition, we are following the paddhati created by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Gopala Bhatta Goswami is one of the foremost disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He hails from Srirangam and he is instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on certain processes. He has compiled a book called Hari Bhakti Vilas. So, those who are following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they adopt the methodology and the calculations arrived by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So, Ekadashi. There are two calculations in Ekadashi. One is the day in which Ekadashi Tithi starts. The second calculation is the day when Ekadashi and Dwadashi Tithi overlaps. So, wherever the day when Ekadashi and Dwadashi Tithi overlap, that day we call it as Mahadwadashi. So, the day where Ekadashi and Dwadashi Tithi overlaps, on that day we fast, even though the Ekadashi had been on the previous day. So, the whole science of calculation varies from different. This is just a technical in nature. There's nothing called as right and wrong. So, somebody who is observing Ekadashi on a different arrangement, under the direction of some recommended seniors, that's fine. Just that ISKCON follows the footsteps of Gopala Bhatta Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we use that calculation. So, our festivals are based on some specific tithi. Our festivals, our Ekadashi is based on how the tithi overlaps with the next tithi. We also observe appearances days and disappearance day of Vaishnava Acharyas based on Tithi. Some people calculate based on Nakshatra. So that's how the calculation goes. Did I respond to you?
Krishna,
Prabhuji, Dhanam, Pranam, Agastya, Shila, Prabhupada.
Thank you so much,
Maharaj.
I just want to put one more point in here. Is that okay, Prabhuji?
For sure. Why not?
See, in out of ISKCON calendar, it comes from India. And whatever Tithi is in India that day, the same day we follow in America also. But ISKCON is in the whole world, and ISKCON and the see like Ekadashi, the Tithi is positioned by the like means comes by the position of sun and moon and earth. So it depends where you are staying right now. So Tithi may be different than India. So that's why we follow the calendar which we comes in the line. Like we follow the calendar here in Charlotte with the Hillsborough temple. So whatever temple calendar says, we have to follow that Tithi. Other may be like Chicago and other cities, they may be having a different Tithi at the same time. So that's why ISKCON has a different date little bit here and there. Like a one day here and there. Like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
I had a question, but it's too late. I think it's 9 o'clock already.
Okay, I'm available unless you all want to end the class.
Yeah.
I can rest.
Okay, so, Prabhuji, sometimes new people come in Bhakti Viksha, and for what we expect them to do, to chant and read Bhagavad Gita and do like that, but instead of that, they are very much interested in doing service.
Hmm.
So what should we do at that time, Prabhuji? When we tell them that don't do this, they feel offended. And,
right,
so, okay.
Yeah, sure. Basically, Srila Prabhupada, when he first started ISKCON, he had, varieties of people coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavatam says, Akhama Sarvakama Mokshakama Va Udharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Ejeta Purusham Param. So it is extremely important that somewhere or the other people should come in contact with this Sankirtana process and be part of the glorious Bhakti process. Having said that, if somebody is getting interested, involved in the service opportunity, we need not discourage. At the same time, we should somewhere or other educate, encourage, and inspire people to take up the chanting in some little capacity. If the chanting process is not encouraged, if they just stay on only in doing service, at some point in time, it will become a noble work. Devotional service is not a noble work. Devotional service is much, much, much higher than noble work. In English words, you can explain anything in any way, but devotional service is beyond all the three modes. So, in that sense, engaging them in service is not a problem. At some point in time, we need to encourage them to chant Hare Krishna. So, we adopt this technique. If you read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling 9 stages. My dear Arjuna, do this. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this. So please go through that, and we always encourage our students to, take a printout and stick it in your desk so that when you are cultivating people, you are not boxed thinking, oh, this guy is not chanting, oh, this guy is not serving, oh, this guy is not reading, oh, this guy is not doing this, he's a debauchee. That need not be the approach. Krishna is definitely interested in giving alternatives. So elevate them from that level to the next higher level, from that level to the next higher level. Jayananda Prabhu, who is one of the stalwart in ISKCON, learned to engage even the drunkards and the thugs of the area to take part in devotional service and engage them in Jagannath Rath Yatra, which nobody else could relate. Jayananda Prabhu could engage them. So from that perspective, some Ajhata Sukriti or some, you know, privilege could be passed on, nothing like it. But it need not necessarily be a trend. So that is why Krishna consciousness is a process of cultivation, and we need to have some patience towards their involvement in Krishna consciousness. So 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the easiest solution for us to handle different varieties of people coming in contact with us. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the
wonderful class. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindaki
Jai
Jai
Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai